we don't play that.
No.
Oh man. Well, should we like get started?
I guess.
Should we do this? Okay. I read somewhere it's good to clap to begin it so that you know where to cut the audio. So do you want to clap on three?
Sounds complicated.
Okay, ready? On three, not after three.
Oh, like on or no, you just said two different things. On three or after three?
No, on three, not after three. Okay, ready?
Oh my god. Okay.
Okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay, after three. After three. Just kidding. After three. Okay, ready? One, two, three. You suck at this.
That was you being off.
No, it must be the video lag. Okay, no big. It's fine. We're all good.
Whatever.
So you're recording. Okay, you're good to go?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, this is it. We're doing it. It's Hereditary.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
We've been talking about this for months now.
For months. I've been wanting to do a podcast for... over a year, and you're just the sorry bastard I've dragged along with me.
Well, that's what family's for, right?
That's what.
Hey, we're doing this thing, okay? Make sure you have a computer and a microphone.
No questions asked. Now. Truly, you asked no questions when I emailed you. I was like, "Do you want to talk about scary things for fun?" And you were like, "I'm in." And that's all I could ask for. All I could ask for.
Yep.
So, you're Haley.
I'm Haley, yes.
I'm Caroline.
And this is It's Hereditary.
And this is It's Hereditary. So before we start and explain what this is all about, I just want to draw attention to the fact that you are drinking coffee, correct?
Yes.
At, what is it, 7:20 your time?
Yes, it's 4 cups of coffee in this mug.
4 cups. And I'm drinking very, very red wine. And that about sums us up, I think.
It does, but at the same time, I mean, I could have gotten some alcohol, but I've been doped up on Benadryl since 9 o'clock this morning because my eyes weirdly swelled shut overnight.
It's a demon.
Because I went to the antique mall yesterday.
You know that is the easiest way to catch ghosts. Which is why I don't...
Well, you know...
Which is why I like modern things.
But these antique malls out here... I'm in Orlando, by the way. Have Disney stuff because they're so close to the parks, and it's usually like 80s and 90s like Disney stuff. Oh, you usually find some cool things.
I do feel like scary stuff does not come from the 80s and 90s. Like, I mean, Furbies do, but but like in truth, like the dolls and stuff, they're possessed from another time that's not the hair of the 80s or the neon of the 90s. So
that's fair.
You know, I understand. I would do that kind of antiquing. I'm like sweating. I just showered. So should we give a little background on like what this is about to kind of, you know, it's kind of about a lot of things and also not about a lot of things.
It is. It's just, I mean, a combination of all the stuff we like to listen to, like true crime and folklore. So we both listen to lore, and we listen to My Favorite Murder and all of those kinds of podcasts. So we're kind of going to bounce around a lot, but I guess that's a good thing because that'll maybe attract more people because we talk about a variety of things. So
yeah, and I think I speak for both of us when I say our parents and our grandparents love to tell us scary stories to keep us in line, or at least mine did.
Yeah.
Both sides. Yeah.
That's fair.
Or scary to me, not scary to you. You're braver than I am.
Well, I mean, when you have family members like on Papa's side that could see ghosts.
Yeah.
Multiple people on that side of the family could see ghosts.
Your Paran. There would be my Paran Jr. like blasé mentioned that. I thought he was the most normal.
It's all those Cajuns on the houseboats in the bayou. They got nothing else to talk about. Oh, so, I mean, you know.
Blame it on our roots. It's hereditary. It's not our fault.
Correct. Mm.
So, really quick, before we go and decide, however we're deciding who is going to go first, I want to lay down ground rules. Because, you know, I get scared more easily. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. Rule number one. Don't get mad when I offend you. Not if, when, because it's going to happen. We both know me. So raise your right hand. Go ahead. I state your name. Come on, do the oath.
Why do I have to do this?
Because I'm going to offend you, and this is just my, make sure I don't get in trouble.
Whatever. I, Haley.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Not to be offended.
Not to be offended.
By anything Caroline says or does to me while speaking into a microphone.
By anything Caroline does or says to me while speaking into a microphone.
Beautiful. Okay.
This is going to go downhill fast.
It's already going downhill if you don't feel it. And my second rule is for my own personal protection. If there's any mention of demons or exorcisms, I'm out. Like, I will leave you on this Google Hangout by yourself. I'm out. My safe word is swashbuckler, and I will use it without abandon.
I can't guarantee I'm going to remember any of this because,
well,
again, going back to the whole doped up on Benadryl thing. That's true. You know.
I will remind you, and in further episodes, I will remind you more and more and more because I'm...
Am I going to have to swear this oath every time we record? Or is this
only when I think you're getting offended by me. Only when I deem necessary. Let's be honest.
I'm invoking the oath.
It's my world and you're just living in it.
Okay.
Okay. So do you have any rules that you would like to add before we begin?
No. I'm pretty good.
You're going to regret that.
We can always make amendments later.
No. Okay, fine. We'll make amendments later on. Okay. Anything else we should chat about before?
I don't think so. I think people are probably going, stop chatting and get to the story.
Yeah. I know. We both hate that. So as the elder. Oh, should we say that we're cousins? Did we say that?
I feel like that's important for the whole It's Hereditary.
Yeah. Thing. Okay, real quick. Oops. It's Hereditary because Haley and I are cousins. We're the eldest on our side of the family, and we were the mess up pancakes, and this is just us sharing the ramifications of that. But yes, we are cousins.
I mean, you know,
yes. Because we didn't cover that beforehand.
Very, the most important thing probably of this podcast. Keep drinking your wine. It's fun.
Okay. So you're the elder. Beautiful. Beautiful elder. I would like you to pick how we choose who goes first, or just pick who goes first.
Well, this was your idea, so I'm throwing you under the bus first, and then we can alternate.
Okay.
And just keep track of it, or make Blake keep track of it. I don't know. Blake's our mediator. That's Caroline's brother and my other cousin. So we're going to go through him to let him know what stories we're doing. So because we're not telling each other what stories we're doing, we're kind of revolving around a central topic.
You told me. Because.
Well, for this one. But, I mean, you know. In other cases, we're not going to know. Blake will know and tell us yes or no if somebody's doing one that we want to do.
Yes. He's very excited to be part of this endeavor. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous to do this one for you, in front of you, because I feel like you're going to be like, no, I know this, and this is how it is, and I know you know it, and you've probably... That's Graham.
Hi, Graham.
Yeah, that's Graham. Hang on. Let me go see what he wants really quick. Okay.
That's definitely a sound our listeners are going to have to get used to, because between Graham and Kylo, but Kylo's not here for the next, like, 2 weeks, so.
Well, I thought he'd be okay. I gave him a treat, and I thought that would be enough, but my roommate is out and about, and he's obsessed with her, so he's like, please get away from me. I want to go get snuggles and treats.
There you go.
Okay. Where were we? I was starting? Okay.
Yes.
I know you're going to, okay. I'm just going to go. So, we picked a theme. We're going to kind of sort of pick a theme every week so that we don't, you know, it'll be something around either we're both doing hauntings or both doing true crime or both doing folklore or something like that. So, this week for our inaugural episode, we picked things that scared us as kids. And I'm doing like quote unquote because Haley, of course, is not scared of anything. She just loved to scare me. So I picked a story that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. And I will still not do it. It's...
Oh, no.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I think so. Okay.
It's, you know, an obligatory sleepover ritual. Girls love it. I don't. Do you want to...
I never did it.
I never did it. Our moms did it, though. Because my mom told me about when your mom did it. But yeah, I'm doing Bloody Mary. Is that what you're going to guess?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
So, the story of Bloody Mary has been around for years, even historically. So, when I was growing up, I kind of thought it was just that urban legend kind of thing, which it is, but it actually was a historical thing, like even in the 1950s. It was a ritual known as, give me a second, catheptromancy. That, let's all give a little clap for how I pronounce it.
For the word of the day there. Yeah.
Word of the day. There you go for your SATs. and it means it's divination via looking at glass slash a mirror. So it's just divination through a looking glass.
Okay.
And girls would do it to catch a glimpse of their future husbands, kind of similar to the, like, potato apple peel ritual. Have you heard of that one? Where you, like, peel the potato peel and you throw it over your shoulder and whatever it makes an initial and that's the initial of your husband or whatever.
Except I'm sure it always makes, like, a letter C or an O because it's a peel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sound science, okay?
It was in that one episode of Charm. That's the only way I remember.
Oh, I saw it in Alias Grace, and I feel like I've heard of it before. But I digress. I have to stop drinking wine. So the way that worked, the young women would walk up a flight of stairs backward, which I can barely walk up stairs forward, so that seems very dangerous. But perhaps it's just me. And they would hold a candle in one hand and a mirror in the other. So walking backwards upstairs, candle, mirror, while chanting Bloody Mary's name repeatedly, which obviously kind of stays throughout the story. So supposedly, if you didn't break your neck while performing this feat, you would see your future husband's face in the mirror. But you could also see a skull or the Grim Reaper, meaning you'd die before you had the chance to get married. You know, 50-50. You know, either really great or maybe it is. Either way, it's really great. I don't know. I'm not going to judge, but I don't want to see any face in the mirror that's not actually behind me. So that's kind of the historical part of it. Now, sleepovers today, at least the ones I was involved in, didn't really have anything to do with seeing your future husband as much as it was who's brave enough to stay in the bathroom the longest and see the monster in the mirror. And there are a couple different ways you could summon Bloody Mary that I learned. Now, some say you go into the bathroom, you look into the mirror with the lights off and the room completely dark. You'd say Bloody Mary 13 times, obvi. And then a woman would appear in the mirror and scratch your face off. Let's scratch your face off. Scratch, scratch.
I think the versions we knew, it was three. It wasn't, or five. It wasn't that many.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones. That was just the first one I found. And actually, that's what I remember. I always thought it was someone would come to the mirror and, like, do something to you, like, hurt you. And you'd only say it three times instead of 13. Mm-hmm. Another says that if you say Hail Mary 7 times in front of a mirror in a dark room, you'd see Satan's image in the mirror. The story also says after saying it 3 times, the mirror would turn red, and after 5 times, an unclear face would appear. And then another story says you spin around in the bathroom as you chant Bloody Mary's name. But all of them pretty much agree that you chant her name or some variation like Bloody Bones, Hail Mary, Mary Worth, and a plethora of other odd names that, like, some aren't even Mary. It was like, I don't know, Elizabeth or something. Like, I totally don't understand. And you chant them anywhere from 3 to 7 to 13 times, which I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but those were all, like, my lucky numbers. So, I don't know.
So it was meant for you!
I don't know what that says about me. It says that I'm never doing this. Then the woman would appear as a witch or a ghost, and it could be benign or evil. I always heard that it was evil. Sometimes she'd be covered in blood, and obviously that's always what I thought would happen. Then after performing the ritual, the apparition would appear and scream at participants, curse them, strangle them, steal their souls, drink their blood, scratch their eyes out, etc., as evil spirits do. She may also strike the summoner dead, or drag the summoner back into the mirror with her to live out the rest of her days, terrorizing future sleepovers, living in the mirror dimension, which I would not imagine is as fun as it is in Doctor Strange. So, I definitely thought she came out and did something to you. I can't remember exactly. I mean, I know when I was little, it had to be like this exact thing happens, but I guess now that I'm older, I can't really remember. But whatever it was enough to warn me away from ever trying it, ever. Like, I remember being at sleepovers and I would make my mom come get me. Like, no, 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 hard pass, hard pass. So, if you're asking yourself, self, who is Bloody Mary? Well, I can give you some likely suspects. Are you ready for suspect yes. Number one? Queen Mary the First. This seems to be the most likely, and I think this is who I always thought it was, considering it, she was also known to history as Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Queen Mary the First was responsible for burning nearly 300 Protestants to make England more Catholic, which perhaps was not one of our best moments. Moving on. She was super desperate to have a child, so desperate that, in fact, she had not one but two false pregnancies, which is so crazy. Like, have you seen that?
Like, you want it so bad that you just, your body mimics the symptoms.
Yes, it's like, yeah, insane. Yeah. And as someone, like, I want to have kids one day, but pregnancy is a little scary.
Right.
Two false pregnancies. So like you said, it has many of the same symptoms, which is correct. I call them symptoms, right?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Of a real pregnancy. She
like looked, it's a disease, but okay.
Wait, what'd you say?
like a disease, but okay.
I know, that's why I was like, go. I don't know.
there might be a better word for it somewhere, but that's
well,
what we're
doing.
Well,
you're the science person, so if you can't give me a better word, then I'm not going to come up
I'm
with one
I'm a middle school
myself.
Science teacher. That's not really, you know. Okay, go.
So Mary looked pregnant, as in her stomach was swollen, and she said she could feel the quote-unquote fetus moving inside of her. And then when the time came around to when she should have had the baby, she was bedridden and they began to prepare for the birth. However, the baby never came, and her swollen belly just began to recede and went back to normal without actually having a child, which is just so crazy.
That you go that entire duration. That's nuts.
Yeah, like, it's just insane to me that you could want something that bad and your body has a physical reaction to it. But
yeah.
I digress. That's another scary story for another day. Now, during her second false pregnancy, she died, Mary. And the legend says that she is searching for her lost children and is ready to steal one if she must. The legend of getting pulled into the mirror, chanting, "Bloody Mary, I killed your baby," which seems deeply cruel, is most likely attached to this suspect. So if that happens to anyone, or has happened, they probably deserve it. That's kind of mean. So that's suspect number one. Suspect number two, do you want to give a guess, or do you want me to just keep going?
Is that Mary Brown? Is that going to be Mary Brown? No.
Mary, Queen of Scots, is the second one.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, unlike the first suspect that caused the bloodshed, she wasn't known to cause much, but she had a lot that happened around her during her life. So, in an ill-advised marriage to her cousin, the Earl of Darnley, took a turn for the worse when he stabbed a man 56 times in front of a pregnant Mary. So, trauma, to say the least. Darnley later died mysteriously shortly after the stabbing, and while there was never any proof that Mary had anything to do with it, many people did suspect her. And even more suspicions fell on her when she married one of the main suspects in her husband's murder. The situation continued to worsen, and Mary took her infant son John to England and sought protection from Queen Elizabeth I. But Elizabeth feared there would be an uprising to have Mary, Queen of Scots, take over her throne. So instead of giving her protection, she threw Mary into jail for 19 years.
Yeah, because they were distantly related. Mary actually had a more of a claim to the throne than she did, and it was a whole Catholic Protestant thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've seen Rain.
Oh, yeah, I love Rain. Absolutely love Rain. I was disappointed in the Margot Robbie movie version.
I heard it was kind of boring. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but Rain was great.
Okay, good.
Continue.
So, after more whispers and a few elaborate escape attempts on Mary's part, Elizabeth sentenced her to death by beheading. So, as if being beheaded wasn't bad enough, Mary's executioner was unfortunately bad at his job, and it took several swings to lop off her head before officially killing her. Then the executioner thought he'd be smart and tried to pick up her head and yell, "Long live the queen," but he only grabbed her red wig, so her head just, like, fell, like, rolled around on the ground. Which is just, like, I don't know, really drive the boot in. So, why is she attached to the Bloody Mary legend? It's because of her gruesome death and a life surrounded by bloodshed. So, there's a final official suspect that I'm going to very quickly gloss over because she deserves her own story, but I did want to mention her. Do you want to take another guess?
Is this Mary Brown?
No. You'll have to tell me. Okay, after this one, you're going to have to tell me who that is because I saw her name, but okay. I didn't see enough about her. So that's our final official suspect. It is none other than the Blood Countess herself, Elizabeth Bathory.
I should have known that, yes.
Who killed virgins and bathed in blood, bathed in their blood in search of eternal youth. And she deserves her own episode, so that's all you're going to get on her.
Yes, she does.
Now, as is common with urban legends, there are other more general culprits of the Bloody Mary legend. One such says that Mary was a witch who was executed hundreds of years ago for practicing the black arts. Others say it's a woman from modern times who died in a car accident where her face was mutilated. I tend to think it's one of the big three. Do you want to mention anything about Mary Brown?
She's tied to the vampire legend, so...
Mercy Brown.
Oh, there you go. Mercy Brown. Mary Brown's something, I swear to God.
I think she is. I think you're right.
Look,
it's my story, it's not yours. You weren't required to do this homework.
Yeah, I'll figure it out later. We can do like a corrections corner or whatever later. Because that's going to bother me, because I feel like... Or maybe that's just the made-up name they used in... That's what it is, I think. They used the made-up name Mary Brown in the Bloody Mary episode of Supernatural, I think.
Ah, I see. That might have been it.
That was one of their scarier ones, for sure.
Yes. The first, like, five were terrifying.
And then they got into the whole angels and demons thing, and it wasn't...
Well, it's just depressing.
So I may end up pulling ideas from those early seasons later on things to... cover, but yeah, that may be it. I don't know.
Well, look, it's our world in this is true. However long this is gonna be, and we can be right here. It's fine
until we get called out later, and then we'll apologize for it later, but now we're just gonna say what we need to say in with like confidence and conviction, and we're just gonna go with
it. No, I do what I want. I'm always right, you know me. Okay, you know everything and I'm always right. This is why we're a great pair. Okay.
Sure. You can at least fake it.
Yeah. So, in order to help your girl sleep at night, I went and looked up some explanations for the Bloody Mary legend to try to throw science at it and just see what would stick. And here's what I found.
Okay.
Number one, children, as we know, have very vivid imaginations, and as we learned from horror movies, are very susceptible to the paranormal, usually much to our chagrin before adults. So why do children specifically, like, as 20-year-olds, we have not probably even thought of summoning Bloody Mary in a decade. So why do children continue to do it? And why are they most susceptible to actually seeing her? Well, science, thank you, science, there's a study to explain this. So kids between the ages of 9 and 12 are in what's known as the Robinson age. And this is a period where children need to satisfy this craving for excitement by participating in ritual games and playing in the dark in a safe way. Did you ever play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Yep.
So stuff kind of like that, just to exercise, like, that feeling of risk without actually risking anything.
Right.
So it's a method of extracting pleasure and releasing anxiety and fear. So that's one explanation, is that they want to see it and they're in this age where they're susceptible to being around that kind of danger. Danger. Why am I quoting? It probably is actually real. It can also be explained by a couple of psychological phenomena, which I feel like I need to warn you here. You do know I was a psych minor, right?
Yes.
So I'm, like, obsessed with psychology, so this will probably happen a lot, where I'm like, psychologically speaking. So, disclaimer. Okay, so first explanation is just simple hallucination. If you stare into a mirror in a dimly lit room for a long time, it can cause you to hallucinate, like, especially if you're not blinking. The second is something known as the strange face illusion and can cause facial features to melt, distort, disappear, rotate, or transform altogether. And it can be compared to the dissociative identity effect, which causes the brain's facial recognition system to misfire. So another one thing is, like, if you kind of stare long enough, things happen in your brain. Another explanation is the perceptual effects of something called Troxclair's fading, which is an optical illusion affecting visual perception when you fixate on a particular point for a fixed amount of time. So it's like when you ever did that thing where you stare, like, at a, I don't know, I'm looking at a doorknob, but if you stare at it long enough, it just kind of, like, crosses in your vision and it just goes away. It's that. It fades away and disappears. And then
in these dead silences, I just want to point out, I am nodding like I'm forgetting we're recording a podcast and no one's going to be able to see me. So I...
You're good. I feel very encouraged and I appreciate that.
Okay, go.
And then, of course, there's good old self-hypnosis where you make yourself believe these things, I suppose. Then something is at my door. I think it's my dog. I'll get him in a bit. Yeah, so those are the scientific explanations. You know, if that helps, now that I'm reading them aloud, it kind of doesn't. I'm not thoroughly convinced. But that's the story of just one of my biggest childhood fears, the Legend of Bloody Mary.
Good job, yay! And I mean, we're still at, you know, in our mid-20s, that we're still not going to do that ever in our lives.
No, never.
But
hang on, I need to pause for a second. My dog is scratching at my door. I'll be right back.
Okay.
We're back. For now. He's staring at me like he's going to start barking at me again. Okay.
Which he might, but, you know.
Yeah.
Such is life. We all have pets, or most of us have pets these days, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oof.
I'm sweating so much. I'm going to take another shower. So nervous. So excited I get to just lay back with my wine, TNL varietal, if anybody wants to know. And I get to listen to you and your Benadryl drugged up self talk to me about what I think.
I just drank like 3 cups of coffee, so we should be good. My big old coffee mug is almost empty now. Story, it was really one of those things that you've probably only heard of it if you're from South Louisiana, but for me, I grew up right next to the swamp in the woods. Like, our driveway came up at a curve, and if you backed out with at the wrong angle, you'd go into the woods.
I actually almost did that. You remember that? Your mom ran out. Yeah, she was so mad at me, and then she saw it was me and laughed at me.
Yeah. So we lived right next to the woods, so this kind of stuff. So my story is on the Rougarou, which I'm going to get into now. I don't know if are we listing sources? Most of my information came from exemplar.com.
I think mine came from Wikipedia, and there's a study somewhere that I'll cite in show notes.
Okay.
And then I'll be better. Sorry.
I just didn't want somebody to be like, hey, where did you get that information? But anyway, okay. So, if you're from New Orleans, you've been to the zoo. We've been to the zoo so many times. Visitors might know what I'm talking about, but if don't, let's...
The Audubon Zoo, right?
Scene to here.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. So, like any other zoo, you got the different sections. And out in the Louisiana swamp section, you have to walk in past, black bears and alligators, otters, all that good stuff. And you come around this corner.
Can I say how fast I ran past that corner? So fucking fast. So fast.
Well, and if you don't know it's there and you see it out the corner of your eye, okay.
Okay.
So you round a corner, and out of the corner of your eye, you see this tall, dark figure. It's really startling if you don't know it's there. It's about 6 or 7 feet tall, covered in black fur with eerie yellow eyes, and it's got these sharp teeth that I think the figure is made of shells or something like that. It's little.
I don't know. I never looked at it. I always ran past.
If you're not a local, you may have to read the plaque near the figure to find out what it is. Those of us who grew up near Louisiana swamps know exactly what the plaque says. The creature is called the Rougarou. So the term Rougarou comes from the French term Lougarou, which may be a more familiar term to people who like folklore and scary movies, which it's the French term for werewolf. Werewolves have appeared in mythology and folklore in Europe, South America, North America, variations of the same story where a man turns into a beast, and those stories have appeared all around the world. The Rougarou is most often described as having a human body with the head of a wolf or a dog with glowing red eyes and razor-sharp teeth. Some versions make it almost like a swamp Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Kind of. More than a werewolf that you'd see in the movies. So, the Rougarou stories vary across the state. Some stories say that the Rougarou roams the street at night and it antagonizes people trying to get people to attack it. Because the only way it can be released from its curse is if it gets cut.
Oh, I've never heard that.
When the first drop of blood is drawn, they return to human form and tell the attacker who they really are. And if this witness tells anyone about this encounter within a year and a day, specifically a year and a day, they're going to become a Rougarou themselves.
What if it's a leap year?
I would assume it's still a year and a day. I don't know. Other variations say a Rougarou can turn their victims merely by making eye contact, like basilisk style. One version that stood out to me as a Catholic from the South is that the curse of the Rougarou is placed on Catholics who broke the laws of Lent 7 years in a row. So for the non-Catholics listening, Lent is a time of sacrifice and fasting for Catholics in the weeks before Easter. And most Catholics make a promise to themselves to give up something they like soda or chocolate, and give up meat on Fridays. So basically the Rougarou is used as a tool to keep the little Catholics in line.
Yeah, wait. I have a question. So breaking the rules, is it when you would eat meat on Fridays? Or is it if you broke your own,
Both. Both.
Now I'm scared.
I hate you. Yeah, so it's kind of like the Catholics version of a boogeyman.
Yeah.
That they'll turn into a literal monster if they break their Lenten promises. So if that version's true, I'm definitely a Rougarou because I'm terrible about it. Oops. some versions of the myth involve witchcraft, which of course they do, seeing as voodoo is a huge thing in Louisiana. But that's also a topic for another episode. Anyway, those versions state that a witch has the ability to curse someone to be a Rougarou. The unfortunate person is under the spell for 101 days, not a year and a day. It's oddly specific, but...
Okay. I wonder what that extra thing is for. That extra...
I don't know. The specifying the extra day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
The curse is transferred to the next person when the Rougarou draws another human's blood, whether by scratch or bite or whatever. There's also a Native American story of the Rougarou, but it's spelled different. It's R-U-G-A-R-U. This version varies from being a Bigfoot legend to resembling something more like a Wendigo.
Get off me with the Wendigo. No.
So, according to Native American legends, a Wendigo is created whenever a human resorts to cannibalism to survive.
Okay, so we're good. We're good, right?
Yeah, that's it. So, there have been some disputes about whether or not this myth is actually related to the French Louisiana Rougarou legends, but there are Native American tribes in Louisiana. Our grandfather was part Chitimacha.
Oh, Chitimacha? Damn, I should know that.
It slipped a couple of times out of my brain that I had to like make sure it like solidified there.
I thought it was Cherokee. Chitimacha makes sense. Continue.
They're in the bayous. A version from the 16th century actually makes it out to be something like a genetic disorder.
Oh.
Rather than the curse they talk about in most other versions of the story. So in that particular version, the Rougarou would live life as a normal person until some event occurred that triggered their condition, kind of like Tyler Lockwood, Vampire Diaries, werewolf thing. Their body would then undergo a transformation and they would develop a craving for meat, and their full transformation into the Rougarou would be completed once they had their first bite of human flesh.
Okay. Did you read that article? Did you read that article about the guy that like had to get his foot amputated and invited his friends over and they cooked the foot and ate it because they wanted to see? I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna send it to you.
No, please don't.
It wasn't gross. It was like he got this friend who was a really great chef and was like, "Hey, I have to get my foot amputated anyway. Can you cook it? Because I want to know what it tastes like."
That's disgusting. Yeah, no. Okay.
Continue.
No. Okay, everyone, cannibalism is bad, no matter the circumstances, okay?
Unless you need to survive in, like, the Andes.
No! Okay. No!
Well...
I will die first, thank you.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. We'll see. Drop you in the fucking mountains, and we'll see what you do.
And I am ready to scare you, because this next piece is an actual story from a person that lived in Lockport.
Wait.
Ha! Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Yes! So there have been supposed Rougarou sightings all over South Louisiana. So a story written by Brandon Fulce in the Nicholsworth, a local college paper in Thibodaux.
The Nicholsworth?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you have a year on this story? When did the story come out? Do you know? Okay,
no.
I'm going to look it up whenever we're done.
It'll have it, yeah. It has the date. I just didn't write it down. So a woman... recalls an experience that she had as a child. So she said that a local boy was being followed by this little white dog, and the dog was snapping at his heels. So the boy turned around, whipped out a pocket knife, and cut it on its right leg to kind of get it to back off. And then he saw the dog turn into a man and ran home to tell his family. So again, going back to that legend, you see a Rougarou turn into its human form, you can't say anything for a year and a day.
That's right.
Or you're going to become a Rougarou yourself. So the next day.
Are we... Okay.
This is the year and the day. This is not the 101
when
days.
When you said a white dog, I'm assuming it's like a Pomeranian. Am I to assume it's like ghost?
Or like a Maltese. Or it's a little dog. It was a little white dog. Okay. So, the next day, a prominent town physician showed up to work with his right arm cut and in a sling.
I wonder who it was.
I don't know. The woman said the physician shot himself in Lockport, Louisiana, and many locals still remember that to this day, like when that happened.
Whoa.
And a year later, the boy killed himself and left a letter that the family turned over to the sheriff, and even today, the sheriff refuses to disclose what's in that letter. He will not let anybody else see it. So.
That's like my neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's not too far from you. The Rougarou has also been tied to the story of the DeRidder roadkill. Basically, a woman discovered a supposedly unidentifiable carcass on the side of the road in 1996. Some claimed it to be the body of a Rougarou. Others speculated it might be the chupacabra.
Oh.
But many people just believe it was a dog.
Oh, it's much less exciting.
So, Whether the Rougarou is truly a monster stalking the streets at night or waiting to pass its curse on to the next unfortunate soul, or whether it's merely a tool used to scare Catholics into keeping Lent, it's clear that the Rougarou has become as much an identifying marker to Cajuns as crawfish boils and Mardi Gras.
Wow.
And that's the story of the Rougarou.
That was amazing. Wow.
It wasn't as long as yours, but,
no, that was great. I just had a lot of...
I had to, like, keep myself from going too far, like, doing all that research. I wanted to, like, start talking about werewolf legends in other countries, yeah. And then there was the whole Wendigo part, but all of that can have their their own little episode, so I didn't want to go too in-depth for that. And I even asked my dad, because his side of the family's from Lockport, I asked him if he had heard any stories growing up about it, and he said no. Had I been home to actually go over to my grandparents' house to go ask them, I would have, but I am not. So, you know.
Wow, that was amazing. Wow. I can't believe, The home, I'm a little more creeped out than I thought I would be thanks to the Nichols reference. That creeped me out. That creeped me out quite a bit. Quite a bit. I'm still sweating, and I'm not even in Thibodeau.
Well, and out in Houma, which is right there near Thibodeau, they have a Rougarou festival every year.
That's right. They have Rougarou rum, too, which I like significantly better than the real thing.
Where is...
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the date for that story in the Nichols Worth.
I'm only asking...
2006.
2006. Branson Folds sounds familiar, so I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, it was published in on October 25th, 2006.
Wow.
As like a Halloween article kind of thing.
Amazing.
So living right there by the swamps, I just refuse to go out of the house at night because you don't know what's in there.
No. I don't like being that close to your swamp during the day because I'm scared something's going to come out and drag me into the water. But.
Well, I grew up tromping around through those woods. Like my dad had a little scavenger hunt for me whenever I turned 13 for my phone, and he hid clues in the woods, so mom and I had to go in the woods and go find the clues to find the phone. Yeah.
Nope.
They have some like old cars back there. There's this old abandoned house. There's a hole in the floor, supposedly. I've never been in there, but one of the neighbor kids went. It's probably not the safest place to be. I'm sure it's rotting through, but you know, hurricanes have dragged things in there.
Yeah. Well, maybe for a special, if we get a bunch of people to listen, we'll do that for money only. A significant portion of money will I do that for. Do I look like I want to get Zika?
We could risk like tetanus and all kinds of other bad things.
No. Those are scary too. Wow. Okay. So we did it.
We did. We did one episode, and it's like 45 minutes of recording, but probably the first 5 or 10 minutes were us like actually just goofing off before the whole
goofing off is important
clap to start
too.
Thing.
It's important. And I think you and I talked a little bit about how we'd want to end it. Do we want to hear from people?
I don't recall this conversation.
You hopped up on Benadryl, though. I don't trust you.
I'm just like, it was like just catching up on things going on in our lives during the week. Since we don't live in the same state.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Well, we can leave it up to people. We can end it in a couple different ways. I personally want to hear other people's cautionary tales that were told to them.
Yes.
Or urban legends.
100%.
So if you, listeners, have such tales, we have an email. It's hereditarypod@gmail.com. And maybe if we get enough, we'll share those.
Yep.
Being a family-run small podcast, we could give advice on our family. I could update you on the happenings. It's unreal, some of the stuff that happens in our family. It truly is.
Yeah. Yeah. One particular family member does come to mind.
Only one?
Your grandmother.
I was going to say, only one?
Your grandmother.
I was going to say, I can give you a quick update on her just to, like, close it out. We had our alumni tournament this weekend. Homegirl has bronchitis, but was at the ballpark at, like, 9:30 a.m. for an alumni tournament because she just had to watch us play.
That's great that your grandmother is so supportive.
Bananas. The other one came too. She came for the afternoon one, though. She likes to sleep in. They'll be making lots of appearances, I'm quite certain. So, I guess the tip for family would be let your grandparents thrive. Even if they're a little cray sometimes.
Makes for great stories, and I mean, when you're lucky enough to have them around. Yes. So.
Yes. So, regarding business things, we will have a website soon. We will have social media soon. Hopefully, we can just cut this part and insert stuff once things are live. And so follow us and visit all those things, because we've worked hard on them. You haven't yet.
All of the things that Caroline will be setting up, because I'm technologically challenged, and the whole recording something on my computer is about as good as I'm going to get.
Well, I didn't tell you yet, but you're going to be running the social media. You're going to be running the social media, because I don't use Facebook.
What social media?
But we can talk about that later.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess we should just sign off, you know.
Yeah.
To all our listeners.
All right.
Sweet dreams.
Okay. Sorry.
Poor sweet children.